Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Welcome, family, to Living in Yes with Reverend Deborah L. Johnson. There's so much going on in the world right now. This is Celeste here. And in this moment right now, Reverend Johnson is not able to be in two places, so she's not going to be up here with us tonight. The good thing is, though, we have places to go to nurture our spirit, regardless of what's moving in the world. That's why I look forward to living in a yes with Reverend Deborah L. Johnson. She would love to be with you tonight, but she can't be in two places at one time. So I ask you to join us at Life Conversations Radio as we lift her up and the Inner Light Ministries family, who right now is in a prayer circle due to the transition of one of their practitioners. But the beauty of Reverend Deborah L. Johnson is she left a precious gift, the power of collective consciousness. Have you had a moment to consider how you are either adding to the collective consciousness or taking away from it? Well, this is your opportunity to think about those things. So listen carefully so you can find out how you can lift the vibration of the planet and bring heaven right here on earth. The next voice you will hear is Reverend Dr. Deborah L. Johnson from Inner Light Ministries. Sit back and relax and enjoy a powerful spiritual conversation. And she'll be back next week, live, right here. Thank you.
Welcome to this Inner Light Ministries podcast. Inner Light Ministries is an omni-faith outreach ministry dedicated to spiritual transformation. This podcast is another Sunday message by Reverend Deborah L. Johnson, the founding minister of Inner Light Ministries. These podcasts are sponsored entirely by donors like you. You can join our live Sunday streaming service, view video archives, and support Inner Light's virtual programs by visiting us online at innerlightministries.com. Thank you. We couldn't do it without you.
Our theme this month is consciousness. And my topic today is the power of collective consciousness. Power of collective consciousness. In the beginning of the month, we're saying that there's a distinction that we often kind of fail to make between something that just simply exists and there being some sort of isness, some immutable power or force behind it that can't be changed. That so often we look out upon the landscape and we see things, but what we see are just forms. That's really all that they are. And they are thought forms. I want you to really catch that for a moment. When we say something's a thought form, what we're saying is that there's something that's back behind it that created it, and without that thought, it wouldn't exist. So you take the economy, for example, that's a thought form. The economy doesn't exist in nature. Somebody created it. Started at a particular point in time. And all of those forms that we see out there in our society, structures, institutions, isms, paradigms, they're all coming out of a certain idea about life. They're coming out of a certain way that we've put it together, a certain way in which we see things. I was saying that one of the classics in the New Thought movement is a book by Emily Cady called Lessons in Truth, which I highly recommend, written over 100 years ago. And she says that God is and man exists. Exists, X, to come out of. You come out of something. There is an isness there, and the stuff of the world is coming out of it. So you have something like poverty. Poverty exists, but there's no isness in poverty. There's no spiritual underlying principle that says, I am poverty, and I'm going to manifest, and I'm going to multiply myself. You often hear me say that something is good news and bad news. You hear me say that oftentimes. What I'm really saying is that everything, stick with me now for a moment, everything exists along a continuum. It's a continuum of higher vibration and lower vibration. If we were to take something like water, on the lower vibration of heat, we would have ice, and on a higher vibration, we would have vapor. And in the middle, we would have like fluid, liquid water. But it's the same substance, just vibrating at different energetic frequencies. That's how it is with everything. Love and hate are not opposites. They are just different places along a continuum of love. They're only the spiritual qualities and the degree to which they resonate. There really isn't health and illness. There's only health and then the relative degrees to which that health is expressing or manifesting itself. It's just a vibratory frequency. So when you're experiencing illness in your body temple, it isn't because there's some property of illness out there that suddenly has attacked you. It's to say that the health, that chi, life, vitality within you isn't vibrating enough. So bringing you to health is not just about getting rid of the illness, it's about pumping up your health. That all the interventions are about how can we re-stimulate that certain something within you that still works. I want you to catch that. The health isn't just about how do we get rid of what we don't want, but how do we tap into that which still exists that is not disturbed by the so-called illness. See, the health is in the body temple that appears to be sick. It's right there. But if all we see is the illness, we're going to miss that the answer is in that very thing that we appear to be condemning. You want to watch what you condemn. You want to watch what you judge by the appearance. Because if you're only judging by the appearance, you're missing it. You take any great civil rights or human rights leader. They know that hate and love are not opposites. They're not trying to get rid of hate. They're trying to pump up the love. Just like with the body, they're not trying to get rid of the illness. We're trying to pump up the health. That the answer to the reconciliation, the answer to the end of oppression, the answer to all these things is not trying to get rid of anything, but it's increasing the vibratory frequency of that which is expressing too little. The classic of this is darkness and light. There is no darkness. Darkness is not a property. Darkness is just an experience. Darkness is just a place along the continuum of light. When it appears to be dark, it isn't because darkness entered in. You can't make darkness. You can't create darkness. You can only withdraw light. Think about that, the implications of that. You can't make darkness. You can only withdraw light. So if you're in the dark, what are you going to do? Are we trying to get rid of the dark? How many of us are in the dark, condemning the dark, trying to get rid of the dark? Trying to hide from it, protect ourselves from it, blame it, whatever. Why is this darkness following me around? That's why it says in Scripture, it is better to light a single candle than to curse the darkness. It is better to light a single candle than it is to curse the darkness. Because no amount of darkness can refuse the light. Think about this for a moment. There's no amount of darkness that can refuse the light. What happens to the darkness in the presence of the light is it dissipates. Because it is a no thingness. It's just a place along that continuum of expression. You've just moved it along. The light, it's like you've just gone from 5 watts to 500 watts. You've gone from 0.003 watts to, because everything's on a continuum. I want you to feel that. There's no absolute end. There's always more light, and there's always more dark. There's always more love. There's always more expressions of what we would call hate. There's always more help. There's always less help. There's no absolute spot. And you feel, we're just moving along, and we get to choose what place we want to be there. But it's all relative. It's just all relative. High, low, up, down, dark, light, compared to what? Tall, short, richer, poorer, relative to what? There's no end point. You try to get from A to B just to find out that's your new A? There's no place to go. Life's not a destination. It's just the journey along the continuum. And there's nothing linear about it. We're going back and forth. We're going back and forth out of the darkness into the light. And it's an interesting thing here. An interesting thing. That the darker it appears to be, the greater the power, the greater the illumination of the smallest amount of light. Listen to what I'm saying. The darker it is, the greater the impact will be of the smallest amount of light. Let that sink in for a second. The darker it appears to be, the greater the power and the influence of the smallest introduction of light. And we tend to think the opposite. We tend to think the opposite. There's all this darkness. There's all this stuff. So what's this little bitty thing going to do? What's this little bitty affirmation going to do in the midst of all this confusion? There's so much hatred and stuff going on between us. What's this little bitty I love you? What's this little bitty thank you going to do in the midst of this year's worth of drama we've had with each other? I got so much debt. They got so many bills. I can't help them. I can't save them. All I got is $5 I can give them. All I got is $20. What's $20 going to do in the midst of all the stuff that they've got going on? That $20 may be just what they need to give them the faith and the courage and the strength to go on. You don't have to save anybody. It could be that hello. It could be the smallest thing. I've got tears in my eyes now. An experience that happened to me years ago. Years ago. As I'm doing the math, it's like 30 years right now. In the fall of 82, I was a first-year graduate student in UCLA's Graduate School of Business. And if any of you know anything about UCLA and Westwood, parking? So, I didn't know the deal. I didn't know the drill. And by the time I went for a parking pass, they were gone, gone, gone. So if I wanted to park anywhere, I'd have to pay every day in the parking lot, which started would rake it up, like $5 a day and whatnot. That started to rake it up. And I remember it was my first final, and I was running a little bit behind, and I didn't have time to park someplace and walk for miles. And I didn't have, you know, this was like before we had ATM machines and all the rest of that kind of stuff. And I had like $5, literally $5. And I was having to make the choice, was I going to eat lunch or was I going to park this car and take this final? I'm parking the car. I can always eat later. This final is now or never. So I'm going in and there's a little kiosk there. You know, you didn't have any of that self-parking, you know, stuff then. You got to go through somebody. So there's a man I'd never seen before and never seen since. Black man. Old black man. Slow. Woo! Slow like only an old black man can be. And he's taking his time and he's looking at me and he's looking at the car and he's walking around. And I'm thinking, what are you looking at? Just get... Okay, God, I'm just breathing. Whew, I'm breathing, because I'm in my first semester of the core classes. So I'm breathing. And then finally he says, you go to school here? Yes, sir, I do. And as a matter of fact, I've got a final, like right now. And he just kind of goes, mm-hmm. And then he goes back doing what he's doing. And he sticks the little sticker in the window. And I said, thank you, sir, thank you. And I go to give him the $5. I will never forget this as long as I live. And he just took his hand and he pushed the $5 away. He said, this one's on daddy. He said, you go in there and you do well. I believe in you. Get yourself some lunch. $5. Never seen him before, never seen him since. I'm not really sure he exists. And I'm sure some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. I'm not really sure that was like a real person. You know, I'm not going to profess that I understand the complexities of all of this, but I do know, for lack of a better word, that there are angels among us. Sometimes I know I'm being tested. Sometimes I just know. It's like, this is really bizarre. This is really weird. But I know not to judge by what I'm seeing in front of me. Don't pass up this opportunity to be nice, to be kind, to be whatever. Stay present. Be here. Be here. Be here. Be here. There's a power that we have with each other. There is a power that we have to influence each other. The reason why I'm so passionate about collective consciousness is that I find that the whole metaphysical new thought, even the broader kind of new age thing, is extremely individualistically minded. Extremely. And there's nothing wrong with going for your own personal growth or your own personal healing, because you can only start from the place that you are. Nothing can happen out there that isn't happening first in here. But what's our deepest intent? What's our deepest intent? And there's something that we miss when we speak about consciousness, and that how things come out of consciousness, and there is a spiritual abuse that happens. And I really hope that Inner Light doesn't stoop to this low. And that is to want to blame people, their individual consciousness, for the circumstances that go on in their life. Like, what's wrong with you? How did you cause that to happen? What about that brought that on? Like somehow or another, if you were spiritual enough, you wouldn't be going through that. You don't know what you're looking at. And you do not have the right to judge. Circumstances in the human body in particular is very funny. We can only express so many things, so we recycle the same thing. You laugh when you're happy. You cry when you're happy. You cry when you're sad. And if you were looking out from the window, you wouldn't know what was going on. People get sick when they're not dealing. People get sick when they're purging and are dealing. That sickness that somebody's going through, that may not be the sign, oh, they did something wrong in their consciousness. And that. No. No, you don't know what you're looking at. That may be the ticket to their healing. The only thing that you are to do is to stay present and to be there and to know that whatever it is that's going on with people is what needs to happen. Amen. Furthermore, the circumstances that go on in your life are not the result of your own individual consciousness. We are subjected to collective consciousness. We are subjected to collective consciousness. So if you take something like economics, yes, spirituality, prosperity, abundance is everybody's divine birthright. And without interference, we would all have equal access in the material world. But you know what? It ain't like that in the material world. In the material world, we have set up all kinds of structures and systems. Some people are benefiting. Some aren't. Some are having a harder time than others because of the collective consciousness. And we don't need to cop out and let that be an excuse for why we can't move forward. But we also don't need to be in denial and lack compassion and not understand that the playing field is not level. Right. So rather than judging somebody for complaining, what are you doing to help level the field? What are we doing to help level the field? There is a collective consciousness. I have an extraordinary opportunity coming up in a few days. There's a very prestigious academic institution, the Institute of Transpersonal Psychology, that's very close to Stanford in Palo Alto. And they've changed their name now to the Sophia University with an F. And I'm going to do the keynote that kicks off their academic year on Thursday the 20th. Yes. And the next day, I'm going to be doing a retreat, an all-day retreat with the doctoral students. I'm being invited back. I did a retreat last year for all the different levels. And they've asked me to speak about this concept of eco-psychology, and basically what it boils down to is the understanding of our relationship with the planet. And it deals with the whole gestalt of it, from gender identity to spirituality, the mysticism archetypes. I'm so proud of this field of psychology that's looking at the big thing. And what it's really looking at is the way in which the things that are happening in the environment that we consider to be negative are really the result of consciousness, of human consciousness. And that what is that about our thinking and the way in which we have related or not related in an integrated way of being one with the planet that has resulted in this kind of devastation. See, we're so many of the ills that we see going on is a result of collective consciousness. And here's the good news. Is that so much of the transformation and the healing and the empowerment and the opportunity and the new technologies and all of these wonderful things that are helping us have this global transformation are also based upon collective consciousness. Anybody ever heard of that idea of having some sort of a meditation day, like around the world? That's what this is about. There's synchronized energy. It's not just algebraic, it's exponential. There's a synergy that happens where 2 + 2 doesn't just equal 4. When you put human collective consciousness, 2 + 2 can equal 8. It can equal 9. The power that happens when you have more people who are lined up with a single idea. That's where the place of manifestation comes. The more people who are in alignment with that idea, the greater the likelihood is that that's going to happen. In economics, we call that demand. We don't know where the technologies are going to come from. We don't know where the money for the research is going to come from. But we know that if enough people are demanding a certain kind of product or service, or somebody going to come around and make it. Do we not know that? Then why are we so convinced of that in the material world and not in the spiritual? Why is it somehow more logical in the economic world, and when we speak of the same thing in the spiritual world, we're talking about pie in the sky? We don't know in the economic world anymore, but we're sure about it. We're sure that there's a response. We're sure that as certain ideas line up, as certain people are saying, we want this, we want this, we want this, that some how it's going to come into fruition. And my contention is that underneath the economic supply and demand is spiritual principle. That's why it works. It's spiritual principle. We just got to be careful of what we demand. We just have to be careful of what we demand. And be concentrated about it. Because when there's a demand for it, it happens. When there's a demand to end apartheid, it happens. When there is a demand to have equal rights for women, it starts to happen. When there's a demand to have every union recognized, it starts to to happen. But it happens through the power of collective consciousness. The alignment that happens. And we all know that. And that's why right now in this election time, the battle is on. The battle is on for who is going to influence collective consciousness the most. I want you to catch that. So that final vote, that happens is the proof positive of who was able to influence whom the most. And just like the reading that we had, from your deepest intent, our every thought is hanging out there. It's like the ethers. I want you to catch that. It's like the ethers. Like we're making psychic deposits, and you can't unthink a thought. So everything that's ever been out there before, you can still choose to resonate with. For example, the United States is still trying to be the imperialist that the Western Europeans have given up on. That's how we got into Vietnam in the first place. French knew this is a losing battle. We need to let the Vietnamese have their freedom. And the United States is like, oh no. And we're still going around trying to colonize in the way that Rome has stopped it. The Greeks have stopped it. The British Empire has had sense enough to create a commonwealth and allow people their freedom. And we're still trying. This may not be popular, what I'm about to say, but I really want us to hear this. That because everything still stays there, it can be acted out on. So a lot of the violence, sometimes barbaric violence, that we may not be seeing actualized in our society, our children are playing out in their video games. Just how many people can they kill in 60 seconds? And I'm not talking about like little skeets or, you know, little ducky things. I'm talking about human beings. Simulated. Violence. There's a collective consciousness that's there. That they're being sucked into. We have a responsibility to suck them into something else. I contend that now is the time. Now is the time to have entertainment that actually entertains and doesn't destroy. That now is the time to have games with all the same bells and whistles and all of that to get people towards a spirit of cooperation and working together, where you can't win unless you work together. Now is the time to put our mind together so that the renewable, cheap, effective, efficient energy resources that we know are available, that we know are possible, are available to everyone. Now is the time for us to get beyond just this idea of health care. What do we do with people after they're sick? And to teach people how to tap into their own healing powers and the healing powers that we have with one another so that we can start taking charge of our health. Yeah. Our health, not health care. Yeah. Health. There are some countries where the physicians are awarded because of the health. They're dinged if their patients get sick. We have a system that rewards you the more your patients get sick. Now's the time. Now's the time. Now's the time. Now. Not yesterday, but now. And we have an opportunity to step up. We have an opportunity to be something. We have an opportunity to align in consciousness. See, because when you stand someplace in consciousness, there's no time or space. Paul Hawkins calls it the blessed unrest. Like the largest move in the world's history of people moving towards a certain direction. Yeah, you hear a lot of naysaying stuff, but I'm telling you, we have never had more people genuinely concerned about global citizenship than we have at this moment. And will we be a part of that? And I'm going to end on this because it shares a little bit about my own kind of personal journey in this collective consciousness thing. So as part of our 15-year celebration, we're about to have an event on November 3rd, 2012 here. And part of it is around an auction. Now, the first time we had an auction was when we first got started. I think like the first year, maybe the second year. And it was a beautiful event we had down at the Veterans Hall, just really, really nice. And people kept wanting to auction me. Like a day with, you know, Reverend Deborah and this and that. Well, I'm telling you, as an African-American female, it wasn't funny yet. It just wasn't funny yet. But what I know about healing and transformation and consciousness is that everything is a narrative. Not just a story, because we tend to think of story as something negative, but it's a narrative that we tell ourselves, a way that we have constructed it so that it makes sense in our minds. And part of what we have to do with shifting consciousness, individual or collective, is to change the narrative, change the story, change the conversation, change the dialogue, change the focus of attention, have some new direction in which it's going. So it started with me last year, and I want to invite you to change the narrative. So I'm no longer thinking of it as putting myself on the auction. I have something to offer. Those of you in this room have something to offer. If I made jewelry, I'd submit some jewelry pieces. If I did art, I'd give some art. I do me. I train. I teach. I consult. So last year what I did was I said, okay, for as long as I didn't have to go more than 100 miles. But, you know, if somebody bids enough, I'll travel. There's going to be like a half a day for your group, your organization, or whatever. I'll consult, I'll train, I'll do whatever, okay? Without having, because that's something that I can give. And I spent a couple of days last week with Lynn Twist and her Soul of Money Institute with fundraising. And I just love the way that they were talking about how money gets blessed. See, at Elegant Treasures, there's a lot of emphasis on kind of cleaning out what you don't want. And I'm inviting us now to bring our best to the table. Yay. What is this that you have that you can offer that you want to circulate? What is that precious gift, that heirloom, that something that's been passed down, that something that you have created? Just some of the stuff that I've seen you create for your classes that describe your spiritual journey. Oh, that's some good stuff. And if it could be released out into the world, I know that would bless somebody. Because, you see, We want your blessing. We don't just want your stuff. Your greetings in the commemorative book, that blesses us. There's an energy field that comes with that. And we are here by the power of collective consciousness. We are here because we just said we wanted to create something we wanted to come to. So I've shifted it in my head. And the reason why I'm saying this is because we allow sometimes our resistance about things that have happened in collective consciousness to stop us from stepping into our greatness. Because I don't want to be like this. I see that all the time with money. People want more prosperity, but they don't want to be like people who have money. I really want to be in a relationship, but oh, I don't want to be one of those failed marriages. You know, I want this, but oh, I don't want to be like that. Don't let collective consciousness stop you from your individual greatness. Because enough of us change that individual narrative, it will change the collective consciousness. My mother used to say, there are three kinds of people. There are people who make things happen, people who watch things happen, and people who don't know what's happening. And which one are you going to be? Let us pray. In this moment right now, we surrender all. Holy Spirit, grant us the serenity to accept the things that we can't change, but the courage to change the things that we can. And sweet Spirit, the discerning eye, the wisdom to know the difference. So in this moment right now, we just show up. We're not taking ourselves out of the race for any reason whatsoever. We're not judging our circumstances or conditions. We're just choosing to vibrate at the highest frequency right where we are. Lord, lift us up where we belong. Plant our feet on higher ground. So we have the courage to stop judging and condemning. That just like that candle, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light, that little mustard seed, I'm going to have that much faith. Because you said whatever we ask for, we shall receive. Aiteo, ask, which is a demand for something due. It's not begging and it's not beseeching, it's standing in the demand. So in this moment right now, we come together and we are praying. We are praying beyond all appearances. We are praying beyond all appearances. We're praying beyond all of the reports, all of the statistics, all of the things that are telling us about what it has been. And we're praying to our mighty God about what it is and can be. So we're praying for health in the body temple. We're praying for peace in the midnight hour. We're praying for sufficiency and enoughness. We are living life from the overflow of the goodness. We're praying that we don't have to run around and run around and beg people. That we are always in the right place. At the right time, doing the right thing with the right people. The doors are opening. Not simply before I've knocked, the doors are opening that I didn't even know existed. Because the Spirit of the living God has gone before us. This is what I know. Just a little closer walk with thee. Hold! Hold my hand. Hold my hand. Pray with me. In this moment right now, I'm knowing that there's only one of us here. And I have the courage for whatever it is that I'm praying for me and mine to pray for everybody. For I know that when we all know that we are sons and daughters of the Most High, the madness stops. So I don't judge you for your ignorance. I will not collude with you in the darkness. I will not co-sign your identity as less than a person of the Most High. I will see beyond your armor as I have the courage to drop mine. And I'll meet you there. As Rumi says, somewhere beyond right doing and wrong doing is a field. And I'll meet you there. I'll meet you in the field. This is our prayer. We're knowing that he comes through with all needs met right here, right now. It is good. It is done. It is finished. And into thy hands we commit our spirits, one with the one, And so it is. So it is.
Wasn't that amazing? Wasn't that an amazing conversation? For those of you in the chat room, guests I can't see, I want to thank you, Electra, and Carly, and Mariana, for checking it out. And I know there are other people out there listening. Please remember that you have the power to lift the vibration of this planet just by being your beautiful self. I know Reverend D would want me, and I'm Celeste, that you're listening to know that tonight. Make sure you join her next week. It's going to be off the chain. I promise. Absolutely. Reverend D is focusing on several spiritual qualities, and she's going to focus on peace next week. So let there be peace on earth, and let it begin with me. Yeah, we sing those words. But Reverend D is going to remind you that peace begins and ends with you. So to get a deeper understanding of how to experience peace in your life and how to sustain it, make sure you're right here next Tuesday. And if you don't know Reverend Deborah L. Johnson's alter ego, Wilhelmina, well, it's fine time that you do. So thank you for joining us. We're going to wrap up the show tonight with Wind by Sherry Marie. I hope it will relax you into the rest of your evening. And I thank you for joining us here at Life Conversations Radio Network. And we'll be back tomorrow with the Play Experience with Mbasa Safara at 7 p.m. Eastern. Thank you, people. Have a beautiful night. We love you. Make sure you love yourselves.
I'm sick and tired of her pushing and pulling me under. I'm over the line. I'm so tired of wondering why I can't walk through. Can I stay strong? Oh, I pray to find a way. I'm gonna trust the wind to carry me. Fly, born free. Oh, wind, carry me away, away. Wash away my fear, blinding me. Fly, I'm born free. Oh, wind, I'm ready, ready. Ooh, oh, oh, wind, carry me away. I'm born free today. Oh, I wanna fly away. Wash away the fears, blinding me. Fly, born free. Oh, 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 wind, take me, take me.
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting on the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.